Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? I am Dr. Tommy Watson to Resilient Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go on to live their best lives. Today's show is sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com under the programs and products link and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway and to get started. So folks, are you guys ready for an amazing show today? Joining me today, I have with me Chandra Gore. Chandra, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored, Dr. Watson. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Awesome. You know, and the funny thing is, I was just on Chandra's show about a couple months ago, right?
Yeah.
So it's awesome to have you on the other side. I'm going to throw these tough questions out there like you were throwing to me though now. All right? You got to answer. All right? So
I'm ready.
So it's a blessing to have you here. So, Chandra, before we open up, tell us about any latest going on with you and the work you're doing.
Well, lately I have been preparing to open Lens of Faith Academy, which is a servant leadership academy where I teach businesses, churches, corporations how to lead with a servant's heart first. Mm-hmm. That is my latest and greatest that is happening, as well as me standing up a 501c3. I can't share everything right now because I don't want to let the rabbit out the bag just yet, but I'm coming with another 501c3 and it's going to be for the benefit of all mankind.
Well, that is a busy lady. She's an author, coach. What else do you do? Mom, everything.
Speaker, trainer.
Pastor, you're a pastor too?
I am a minister of the gospel of
Jesus
Christ.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Not much she can't do. So if you guys are looking for speakers out there, coaches, you tap in after hearing her story today, you're gonna definitely wanna tap into her and learn more about her and how she can help you as well. So Chandra, we're going to begin. I want to start with the question here. What's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in your personal or professional life? Tell us about
that. The biggest obstacle I have had to overcome, believe it or not, is childhood molestation. It changed the way that I thought. It changed what I focused on. It changed the small things in life that people normally take for granted, like simply holding my child's hand.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That, and I appreciate you sharing that, you know, that is definitely not a easy thing to endure, and it's not easy to share about it. And again, have you shared about that in any of your books at all?
I have. It took me from 1989 all the way to 2012 to actually overcome it and to reclaim my life, snatch my power back, and walk in my authority that God gave me.
Wow. What was the hardest part of overcoming that process? Are you talking about, what, 20-year process there?
Yes, just about a 20-year process. The hardest, what was the question again?
What was the hardest thing to kind of reclaim and get back your life coming out of the situation?
It was facing it, believe it or not, to actually call a thing, acknowledge it and face it head on instead of burying it like I was taught to do. Yeah. Shut my mouth, be quiet, don't let people know what's going on in this house, stays in this house, that type of mentality. I had to rise above that mentality in order to get my life back.
Yeah. And you know, that I appreciate you saying that what happened goes in the house. That's the thing that's killing our communities. You know,
it is.
I was told the same thing when I started sharing my story. Hey, don't you be telling what's going on in the house. And in the meantime, I was falling apart. You know, the person who told me that wasn't trying to rescue me or try to find out how I was feeling or what have you. You know, so oftentimes we don't know how people feel as they're going through that situation. So what were your feelings that you were, or emotions you were dealing with as you were kind of, you've had to kind of go through this whole element of molestation to where you are today. What were some of the feelings that you had to endure?
I hated my family.
Mm.
For the most part, my mother and my father that raised me, for not acknowledging what I went through and dealing with it instead of kind of quietly moving him out of the home. And I was molested by a family member, my own brother. Wow. So I felt some type of way about family. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that nice, close, niche family. I wanted to run. Mm-hmm. And my mentality back then was I'll create my own family so that I would be in this box, which is me and my children and my husband. And I didn't have to worry about the family that I left behind, mm-hmm. which was my, you know, my biological family. But I wanted to run for the hills, and I thought that I would be okay just replacing everybody. Mm-hmm. And just building my own family, I thought I would be okay with that. Uh-huh. But in fact, it plagued the way that I was a wife. It plagued my motherhood. Yes. It plagued my overall experience of loving on someone else.
Yes. Wow. And that's a great insight there as well. You know, as you look back, how did you cope with going through that? What are some of the coping mechanisms that you tapped into to kind of get through that?
Before I realized how bad it was plaguing my life, mm-hmm. I just didn't talk about it.
Okay.
I hid from it. I dismissed it. I never acknowledged it. Mm-hmm. And I tried to run from it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 2012 when I was a mother for the third time. I had my third living child. And I was walking in a mall. And my daughter was trying to hold my hand. And I'm just like pushing her hand away. Mm. And I thought about that very experience because she started to cry. Mm. And I'm like, why are you crying? And she's like, mommy, I just want to hold your hand. And it hit me that I didn't have that connection.
Wow.
I knew that I was supposed to provide. I knew that I was supposed to take care of my children financially, morally, and, you know, physically. But I didn't know that I needed to have that nurturing connection of something so simple as holding a hand.
Yeah.
You know, to connect with my child, because I had detached myself. I didn't get hugs when I was a child.
Right.
I didn't get love. I didn't get kisses. I didn't get, oh, you're so pretty and beautiful. You're going to be an outstanding woman. You know, I didn't get that. So I didn't know what that looked like. I just knew that I needed to provide overall financially and physically, provide a home, food, all of that. And I was doing a great job because that's what I was taught. Even my father taught me to do that. And I began to crumble on the inside because I was missing something. Mm-hmm. So I sought therapy. I was in the military, stationed in Hawaii. And I'll never forget, I called Military One Source because I didn't want anybody else to know, like in my immediate, you know, chain of command. And Military One Source told me to talk to my doctor, my primary doctor. So I went, made a doctor's appointment, and that was a life-changing moment right then and there. My first session, I thought I was going to be talking about what happened to me, but instead the therapist said, tell me what makes you happy.
Wow.
And that was groundbreaking for me to even search for what made me happy. Yeah. I was like, nobody ever asked me that.
Yeah.
So it took me backwards in time to go over. And then about the fourth session, that's when the molestation came out. Mm. That's when she was getting to the root of what I was feeling and why I was detached from nurturing.
Yes.
You know, from holding hands with my own children. So it took therapy for me. When I began therapy, and the Lord, I want to say, because I prayed on that thing.
Yes.
I prayed for God to reveal to me what I needed to do to overcome and conquer it. And I then had to forgive my brother. Mm-hmm. That was another hard part for me. Mm-hmm. Going back to forgive him, because every time I saw his face, every time I heard his voice, I cringed with anger. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something to him, mm-hmm. literally. I wanted to take what he stole from me, from him.
Yes.
You know, and it was like kind of an eye for an eye. But I knew I couldn't molest him because I was an adult and he was way older than me. I didn't even want to do that, you know, but I wanted him to pay with pain for what he did to me. And eventually God unhardened my heart because I prayed the prayer. God unhardened my heart mm-hmm. towards my brother. Show me how I can love him from afar. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to be best friends with him. I don't have to talk to him. I don't have to call him every day. But show me how to reclaim my life by unhardening my heart to what my brother did to me. And God did it. It took me a year and a half to forgive him, wow. to learn how to forgive him, and to even mention it to him and say, you know, I forgive you for molesting me. Yeah. I forgive you for fondling me and touching me when I was 6 to 8 years old. I forgive you for that. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I don't want to ever catch you with a child on your lap.
Yes.
So I had to break it down to him in layman's terms so he could understand what it was that I was saying. And he never said, I'm sorry. Mm. He never said, I acknowledge what you're saying. He just looked at me like I was crazy.
Wow.
But I said, no response is necessary because forgiveness isn't about you. It's about me so that I can reclaim my life.
Mm-hmm.
And once I said that, it was like a huge burden was lifted off my shoulders and I was able to walk in the authority that God gave me. Number one, I was able to tell my story without breaking down, without crying, without being discouraged or ashamed.
Yes.
But standing in the truth of what happened so that I can help someone else, because believe it or not, molestation happens in a lot of families, African-American families.
Absolutely.
And we sweep it under the rug. Mm-hmm. And it's like this thing that you just don't never talk about.
Right.
But deep down inside, you hate your uncle. You hate your mama. You hate your dad. You're carrying around hate.
Yes.
And you're wondering why you get married and your husband don't like you no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hating. That hate is seeping out. It was seeping out of my pores. And I couldn't understand it until I dealt with the root of it. And it went all the way back to when I was that 6, 7, and 8-year-old little girl.
Wow.
Screaming for help, screaming for someone to love me and acknowledge what was happening to me.
That's powerful. That's powerful. So Chandra, as you were going through it and as you kind of emerged from this, did you have any guides or mentors to kind of help walk you through the process of overcoming this obstacle? Were there any folks out there who kind of helped guide you through?
This particular time frame in my life, I was going to church every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also hear people tell their stories, mm-hmm. whether it was on social media, whether I was reading a good book,
mm-hmm.
I would hear people tell their stories about molestation. So it kind of brought it to the forefront for me. But I want to say my biggest mentor and advocate was my therapist.
Mm.
My therapist was crucial in me crossing over to a healing journey.
Wow.
And me navigating that healing journey to become healed.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I was going through healing, I wasn't totally healed until I was able to talk about my story authentically, acknowledge each and every part of the story, and forgive.
Yes.
My story, I did not become healed until I was able to forgive mm-hmm. my brother.
Mm-hmm.
That was the icing on the cake for my journey of healing molestation and becoming an advocate, a sexual assault victim advocate in the military.
Wow.
I took that job and I owned it.
Yes.
And I was able to free and help so many women and men.
Yes.
From the stigmas behind sexual assault, sexual abuse, and molestation.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to then become a person that stood up for other people that were facing that, and they were weak in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now those people are strong, able to tell their story, able to now help other people.
That's right.
So I believe that although my story happened to me, it wasn't for me. It was for me to be able to live boldly and to have a voice for the voiceless.
Yes, I love it. And that's a great perspective to have. And again, I can't thank you enough for being transparent, honest about this, because it's so many folks out there who have gone through it as well.
Yes.
So, at your darkest moment, what kept you motivated to keep going? What kept you motivated to keep going, to keep fighting?
My children.
Yeah.
I never wanted my children to face molestation. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to have multiple baby daddies, multiple husbands, or mm-hmm. any of that, because I wanted them to be rooted and grounded in love, honor, respect. And I wanted them to know that the people that were loving on them weren't predators.
Yes.
So my children motivated me each and every day to live my life out loud,
yes,
to be transparent and positive and to fight for what was right.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for myself, but for other people, the voiceless, the people that didn't have the courage yet to speak up for themselves or what was happening for them. I wanted to be that advocate so that my children could see mom is fighting for something.
Mm-hmm.
Mom is fighting for the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Mom is fighting for us to be safe.
Yes.
So my children were my biggest motivators.
Wow, that is amazing and awesome. And I know they're blessed to have you as their mother. As you look at how you come out of the ashes of this situation, how did it change you as a person?
It changed me big time.
Mm-hmm.
It changed the way that I loved. It changed the way that I saw people. And I used to just be open and free to everybody, mm-hmm. letting mm-hmm. anyone and everyone into my personal space. But I didn't want to be someone that was guarded, yeah. but I wanted to be someone with discernment, which yeah. is a huge difference. The military taught me to be guarded. But now I ask God to give me discernment of who people are, their modus of operandi, mm-hmm. and how they're navigating in and out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a huge victory for me in my walk in this particular journey of freeing myself of the stigmas behind molestation and how I navigated life for my children mm-hmm. and becoming a mother and a wife. And so I wanted God, most importantly, to fill me up with what I needed so that I could safely navigate the spaces and know who people were that were coming in and out of my life and yeah. why they're coming in and out of my life. Yeah. I needed to know that. And I have a tight relationship with the Lord. So he has been my advocate, my mm-hmm. executor, my judge, the person that tells me mm-hmm. what to do, when to do it, who someone is. And everything, God has really strengthened my ability to discern.
That is awesome. And those are insights that we all should try to glean into to guard each of our lives. You know, those are very, very helpful things. So as you look back today, would you do anything different as you came, as you emerged from the process to being healed? Would you do anything different at all?
I can't say that I would do anything different because that particular journey happened on purpose
yeah.
to teach me something. I had to learn something from that journey. And what I learned was invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way that God set that course up, and whether I push back or I open my arms to God, there was a lesson for me to learn.
Yes.
And so I want to say that I wouldn't change it. Mm-hmm. Because if I go back and try to change anything, I may not have gotten the lesson like I needed to learn it.
Right, absolutely.
And so I believe that God properly allowed me to navigate that course that way so that I can open my eyes bigger to see what I needed to see. And mm-hmm. and to me, the biggest thing I could take away from that journey was love.
Yes.
Being able to love. Because when we're young, we're searching for love in so yes. many different places when there's a lack of love in the home front.
Yes.
So when you have it in the home front, it's teaching you that love is first of all within. It begins right there because ministry starts in your home.
Yes.
For those of us that believe ministry starts in the church, it does not. We are the church. The people make the church. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn how to teach the people starting in our very own home.
That's right.
And who better is that than the men and women right in your general space,
mm-hmm.
your children, your spouse, your wife, your husband, you know, the people that live right under your roof. It has to start with love first there in the home.
Yes, I agree totally. Everything starts in the home. So we have a lot of listeners out there, Chandra, who've probably gone through a lot of stuff that, you know, in their childhood, their adult years, teenage years, come out of 2020 off a tough year, may have lost jobs or lost family members, lost income, lost possessions, lost themselves. What advice would you give those folks out there who are trying to fight back and overcome those obstacles to come out on top? What advice would you give them to go through the process and to come out victorious?
I would simply give them an acronym called OFF. Hmm. Most of the times when we're worried about things in our past, our light switch is turned off and we can't see clearly. So once you, number one, open your eyes to see what the thing is that's plaguing you from your past, you have to open up your eyes and clearly understand what it is. Okay. Face it. Face what it is. I faced molestation head on and says, this is what it is. This is who did it. This is how it happened. I faced it head on.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving the person and even forgiving yourself for harboring ill will or harboring it for so long. Because as you harbor it year after year, it's setting up as disease and sickness in your body, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. We're holding on to something that's now an ulcer. Mm-hmm. Now it's a pain. Now I got stomach pain. Now you got a hernia. Now you got leg pain. Now you got headaches, migraines. Well, why? What are you holding on to? So I had to really think about that word off. I wanted my light switch to be turned on mm-hmm. so that I could clearly see and illuminate the darkness of my past so that I can walk in my authenticity and be present for my future. Yeah. I believe we have to hit that light switch and turn it on.
Yes.
No longer remain off in the off position, but be in the on position so that God can use you. God wants to use you for his glory.
That's right.
And what better way to do that than to tell your story?
That is awesome. Awesome, folks. If you're not inspired now, I don't know what can get you inspired. I mean, Chandra Gore, amazing story, overcomer. Thank you very much for sharing with us your journey. Chandra, folks want to get a hold of you. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
So they can reach out to me at www.lensoffaith.org or www.chandranicolegore.com. Both of my websites are up and running, or they can reach out to me via email, lensoffaithspeaks@gmail.com. I'm also on every social media platform. A Clubhouse, Instagram.
You're Twitter. On Clubhouse now. I'm jealous. Somebody
Come
just told me about
Clubhouse.
I'm trying to get into Clubhouse.
Come on over there. You got an iPhone?
I'm an Android kind of guy, but I'm trying to do Clubhouse. People have been telling me about it. That's my next step on my journey, Clubhouse. All right.
All right. You got to get an iPhone.
Yeah. Hey, so, Chandra, we're going to have some fun now. We talked about some heavy stuff. Yes. We're going to have some fun now. You ready?
I'm ready.
You need to drink some water or anything?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, so what we have, this is called our rapid fire purpose session questions, all right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a number of questions. I'm not going to elaborate on the questions, and we want you as an audience, our listeners, to give our listeners the best answer you can to the questions we have here, right?
Okay.
Ready? Okay, here we go. How have you turned your dream into reality?
Walking in my authenticity.
Okay. What gives your life meaning?
My purpose-driven life.
If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
Love.
What verb best describes you?
Action.
What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Poverty.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Jump rope.
Okay. Were you pretty good at it?
Yes.
You double dutch?
I do.
Okay. All right. That's pretty. You say you
double
still
dutch,
do.
Chinese rope, all that.
That's what I'm talking about. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Dance,
okay. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Speaking.
Okay, good. If you had to teach something, what would you teach?
Leadership.
Who inspires you the most?
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay. What is it that you could tell us about yourself that would surprise us to learn about you?
I love to skydive.
So you've like done it more than once?
Yes.
What? Wow, how many times?
About 31.
31 times, 31. Are you serious?
Yeah, it might be 31, it might be 32. I think I stopped counting. Yes,
wow. 31. Most people wouldn't do it. And if they did it, they'd probably gonna do it one time. 31 times, that's pretty amazing. I love it. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
I want to go to that lake in Iceland.
Okay. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Reading.
What would you like your grandchildren to say about you?
She was a great servant leader.
Okay. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Healing.
If I were to walk around your house, what clues would I get to reveal to me about what it is that you love?
Books.
Okay. What would you go back to school for?
Math.
Okay. What sparks your creativity?
Listening.
If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Probably Freedom of speech. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like we don't have freedom of speech these days.
Okay.
Good. And I will go into great detail about freedom of speech.
Okay. Love it. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would you follow around?
Ooh, I would say Jesus.
Okay. Good answer. What do you love doing for others?
Providing.
What's been the best gift anyone's ever given you?
A book.
What's the best compliment you've ever received?
Oh, you're great, Chandra. You're amazing.
That's a good one there. What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Jump.
Okay. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Speaking.
Say more. So your moment from your childhood, you're most proud of is speaking?
Yes. I've been speaking since second grade.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. You were destined to do this, right? Okay.
I was in a lot of oratorical competitions and everything.
Really? Yes. Okay. That's awesome. I love it. What does success look like for you?
Opening up opportunities for others to thrive.
Love it. If I talk to the people who know you best, what would they say your purpose in life is?
To motivate.
What have you been most grateful for?
Family.
What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
Learning how to love.
Not love, okay. And last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
As a servant leader.
Awesome. Chandra, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Woo! Folks, give her a round of applause. You did a good job with that.
All right. Was good.
Great, great answers. I appreciate that. So, Chandra, as we get ready to wrap things up here, any last advice for our folks out there centered around resiliency and purpose? What would you tell these folks as it pertains to being resilient and seeking a life on purpose? What advice would you give?
I would say that self-care is critical.
Yeah.
You have to take care of yourself. And I mean mentally, physically, and morally. Oftentimes we forget about ourselves, taking care of ourselves. And I mean, if you need help, seek therapists, seek medical, train medical professionals to help you, even if you are a medical professional. Mm-hmm. I believe that self-care is critical in this day and age, especially for our mental health.
Yes. There you have it, folks. Great advice from Chandra Gore. If you're looking for a coach, a speaker, what don't you do? Therapist, pastor, you got it, man. Chandra Gore, check her out on social media. Give us your website information one more time.
www.chandranicolegore.com or www.lensoffaith.org.
Awesome. So if you are a person out there who has overcome obstacles, or you know of other people who've overcome obstacles and have amazing stories, we want to hear from you. Go to our website, tawatson.com, and share with us your story. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this particular episode, review it, share with your folks on social media. We love to have sponsors for our program as well. And I want you guys to know that you can overcome any obstacle that you want to. Thank you for joining us today. Peace. Deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.